All right. Welcome back to another episode of Please Hold, where two sisters tackle the underappreciated world of CS. My name is Tiffany.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is Please Hold. All right. So we have a really special guest.
Oh, wait, Tiff.
Oh my God. I totally forgot. Okay. Hold on. Like, subscribe, click it right now on your screen. Go ahead. Follow us on Instagram at the Please Hold underscore podcast. You can find us on TikTok, Threads.
Oh yeah. Threads.
We forgot about Threads, didn't we? Yeah. So, you know, all the platforms, go ahead, follow us. And we also want to say thank you so much to our 1,000 subscribers. We're really excited that we hit that number just a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, y'all are, you know, listening and appreciating us, and we appreciate you.
Yes.
All right.
Now, without further ado, go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Let me go. So, back like I was saying, we have a really special guest today. He is a true Renaissance man when it comes to all things Atlanta. With over 18 years of experience in the music industry, specializing in marketing and artist management, he has played an integral role in shaping the city's vibrant music scene. But his talents do not stop there, okay? So he has also made a mark in the culinary world, dabbling a little bit of food blogging and sharing his passion for delicious assets. I mean, delicious eats, not ints, maybe some assets, you know. I don't know what that was. and beyond that, beyond his professional endeavors, he is a devoted father of 4 beautiful girls. And showcasing his commitment to his family and the values that truly matter. And as a diehard Georgia sports fan, he brings that same level of enthusiasm and dedication to his favorite teams, adding an extra layer of excitement to every game day. And so throughout our conversation today, we will take a deep dive into his take on Atlanta's customer service as seen and his experience. So, without further ado, I would like to give a warm welcome to Mr. Love, my fiance, Nick Love.
Hey.
Woo! That was good.
That was pretty good.
Entire time, he was just
not
like,
gonna lie.
He was like, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's true.
That is true.
That. Yeah. Renaissance man, all that. Yeah,
all
keep,
that?
Keep it going.
Yeah.
Talk that talk. I like it. Congratulations, first of all. 1,000 subscribers is a big deal. I haven't told you. But I told her, like, that's huge. Like,
yeah.
You know how many subscribers I have on my YouTube? None, because I don't have a YouTube page. So, like, it's a big deal for y'all to have, like, pulled that off. Like, that's really cool. And I remember where y'all started this.
Yes.
And I definitely remember her and how she was, like, she was nervous, didn't know how it was going to play out. She didn't know how she was going to look on camera. She was worried about how she was going to sound. It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
So, to have gotten from that point to this, huge. So, kudos to y'all.
Yes, it's a journey, man. We're learning so much along the way. So we're just happy that people finally said yes to us and said they were going to come on the show. So here we are.
Y'all were worried about that?
Yeah. We were like, people are going to like say yeah. And
people like y'all.
Oh, okay. That's nice to know.
Yeah, I thought that was.
We're likable. We're not too bad looking on camera, I guess.
That's what they say. Yeah,
that's what they say.
Streets is talking.
Well, I want to know. I know Tiffany has some questions for you, but I've got some questions for you.
So,
we picked this topic because, just like our previous guest, you're outspoken. You say what's on your brain. You have a great following on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You love to post things, and you know your thoughts kind of come out there, and people like to be able to like you know dive deep into like that world with you.
Right.
So our thing is like, you don't like being hip-topped. And this is like a term that, did you create that term?
Yes.
Or, okay.
I invented this term, right?
So what does it mean?
All right. So being hip-hopped is a thing that, so me and Sif was out, and this happens often. Like we go out to different restaurants and we find that whenever we would have a black server, in particular, it wasn't really the nicest place. The nicer places were cool, but like that tier below,
like
not
three stars.
Quite, yeah, three and a half, four. So you end up at a restaurant, right? And there'll be a white table behind you or a white family behind you or a white couple or whatever. And the server will be like, hey, can I help you? And they'll go through the specials, the whole nine. They'll get to our table and like plop down in the booth with us and be like, girl, let me tell you. And I'm like, man, well, hold on. Like, you're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, why you do us like that?
Taking aback.
Yeah, I'm like, why you do us like that? You ain't do them like that. So
right.
Like, you did it because you seen me, her, we black, I got the J's and the hat on, necklace and watch, and she look cool. She got a lipstick popping. She, you know, she fly, and you think that we the homie, so you can sit down. But I'm like, no, we finna pay for this.
Right.
And part of what we finna pay for, especially when it comes to tipping, is the service. Mm-hmm. But you finna give us the homegirl service or the homeboy service. And I don't want the homeboy service.
Right.
Because we finna spend too much money on this meal to get the homeboy.
This meal is like, we're going out with like both of y'all and then all the kids. Like, that's like what? $450 Like
every meal we have is $200-$300 plus. Easy. Because I mean, every time we go out, it's table five, table for six. So like for me, it's like, no, I'm not spending $400-$600 on a meal and you finna give me the hookup service. Yeah. Cause you're not really giving me a hookup. You're not finna discount the price.
Right. Yeah.
So you can't discount the service. But you're giving me a discount service. Yeah, I'm not with that. Cause I feel like it's super disrespectful. And I do that. And that happens to me all the time. When I'm out moving around, I'm buying sneakers or I'm just kind of doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. I will see how people interact with their white customers that come in, and then they'll get to me, and all of a sudden we cursing,
right?
And all of a sudden, oh, Uber, perfect example. Y'all ever get in the Uber and they change it to the hip hop station when all you get in the car? And I'm like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, what if I want to hear classical?
Like, I do want to hear, but don't.
When I was in Tulsa, they did not do that. They were not changing no stations for nobody.
I'd be offended, and it'd be like, I kind of want to hear the music, but I want you to change it just because I got in there.
Now I don't even.
And
want
now,
it.
Now you like now I feel like you're being funny. You know what I'm saying? Because. I know what you was listening to before I got in because I heard it. Then I got in and you was like, oh, he looked like he want to hear some Young Dolph. I don't want to hear Young Dolph. Not, I mean, I'm going to work. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to a business meeting. I'm finna go on a date. I'm finna do whatever. And now it's, you know, I don't fool with that. Like, that's what I call being hip-hopped. Mm. Because you change, it's code switching, but it's in reverse.
Right.
It's like when you was providing the top tier service to somebody, you was kicking it one way. Mm-hmm. Then you got to me and decided he's cool.
Right.
So I can give him the stepchild service. And I'm like, nah, I'm not with it. But I'll never forget the first time that I actually used that term online. And I got slaughtered on Twitter. And I was like, I didn't know what I was saying was controversial. Like, people were like, oh, customer service is like a construct of like white supremacy. I'm like, what the hell are y'all talking about? Like, so
what?
So being professional.
Wait, what they say?
Man, listen, people was on my Twitter like going hard at me like, oh, you want people to like talk a certain way when they serve you. Just yes,
yeah, I do. Absolutely, mm-hmm. That's your job.
1,000%.
I want you to talk to me the same way you were talking to Bill and Kelly right back there. Okay,
all day. And everybody told me that customer service and professionalism was like some remnants of like I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I was like, okay, this might be one fringe person. Mm-hmm. And then it kept coming. I had to hit my homeboy like, hey man, come look at this. Come see what I typed, and then you tell me what you think, just to make sure I'm not tripping. And I was like, oh, yeah, y'all people, I'm worried about people. I really am. I'm really worried about what the future is going to look like because the people who are giving customer service now, like in particular young people, I wonder what they're going to, I wonder what service they're going to expect when they start moving around.
Well, that's a really good point because, like, if they're okay with giving the service that they know when you're front facing and they're okay with giving that type of service, like, later on, it's like, that means you're okay with accepting that kind of service.
I don't think they are, though.
Yeah, like, I don't think, on. I think that people, like, I don't care, so I'm going to give this kind of service. But, like, I think if it was reversed on them, I think they would be a little, you know, like, why are you talking to me like that?
But do some people, like, not even, like, realize that they're even doing it?
Because it's just, like, how they are.
Yeah.
No, they know. They just think that you're supposed to accept it because they keeping it real, or they doing, they like, you know, this is just who I am. And it's like, I don't want you to be who you are. Mm. I want you to come here and fake it. I want everybody to fake it for me.
Yeah.
Personally. Me and her had a conversation, just even in our relationship. No, fake it for me. And not fake it like that. But you know what I mean? But like, no, like fake it in terms of that same attitude and courteous way that you talk to your boss or your manager earlier today at work. Don't come to me and then I can talk to Nick crazy and blow it off and kind of chill. Mm-hmm. I don't have to show him the same, like,
right?
Because you've decided that these people warrant my best behavior, my best attitude, my best front, you know, forward facing face,
right?
And you get the real me,
right?
I don't want the real you, not all the time.
Yeah,
I don't think you want the real me.
But why do you think that? A lot of people, and it is, you know, from what I have seen, mostly like younger black and even middle like age black people in customer service, like as a server or as like just someone taking your order. Like, why do you feel like they
they give that type of service to a white older white woman than they do a middle to young black person.
It's systemic. Like, we've just been taught that white people deserve a certain level of acknowledgement, respect.
But if people feel like, oh, white people don't do us dirty all the time, or they do this, you gotta respect but them. Then you turn around and be like, oh, yes, sir, yes, ma'am.
Just, like, it's what? It's just systemic.
You should be disrespectful.
Like, I feel like us as black people, we don't believe that we should be paid a lot of money. I think that we see ourselves a certain way. We don't, like, consciously believe that, but, like, when things happen, just notice how you respond to certain situations. Like, so I do this thing called the Monday Morning Marketing Meeting on this app called Fanbase, right? So we had a conversation about the marketing of religion one time, and we were talking about preachers. We were talking about how, it was a really good conversation.
Y'all need to run that back.
So we were talking about the marketing of religion, and we start talking about preachers. And of course, whenever you bring up religion and preachers, in particular black preachers, they're like, oh, all they want is your money. They want you to tie, blah, blah, blah. And they buy jewelry, and they be having these suits, and they got a plane, they got a car. I'm like, all right, cool. Joel Osteen got into some stuff during the pandemic. They found money in the walls. He wasn't letting people in. It was wild. And he's not the only white, you know, religious leader that has had hiccups. You know, I just go there and just call them hiccups, whether it was scandals with money, infidelity, whatever the case may be. But the way that we view white preachers who do the exact same thing that you say the black preachers do, it's very much like, it's like we view white people as savvy businessmen. And we view black preachers as crooks, and they just scamming. Mm. And it's like, oh, well, Joel Osteen just found a tax loophole. I'm like, he did too. But you just see it differently.
It's like what black people do is more dirty.
Yeah, it's like it just feels different. It's the same thing like with tattoos. My cousin Bame, who y'all should actually get on the show. Y'all should get Bame. But my cousin Bame Joyner, who runs Atlanta Influences Everything, he's a big proponent of like reversing those images that we have in our heads about black kids and growing up and all that. Because when we were young, I'm sure y'all can attest to this, were y'all told that like having tattoos was going to be like the end of like, you're never going to get a job. Yeah. You're never going
to
do this.
You're never going to be the president's wife. I'm like, yeah, well,
you're never going to be able to go to the mayor's ball, none of that stuff because you got tattoos. And how many times have we gone to restaurants? How many times have we been at business meetings where white guys will have a sleeve of tattoos and they're serving you food? They're the bartender, the craft bartender. Yep. They're very high. They're doing competitions. They're doing it all. They got sponsorships, brand deals, the whole nine. They're white. They got all the tattoos that y'all told me I couldn't have. But for me, when I got the tattoos, it's...
No, it's like we have to live by a different code.
Yeah. And I think that all, like, it all boils down to how we end up with the bad customer service, right? Because it's like, oh, you can get this level of customer service, but I got to make sure that they, because they're going to tip me more. They're going to, you know, it's like, not necessarily. I got money.
Right.
Like I said, we've gone out and, you hell, the CNS meal alone was on a humbug. We didn't go. It wasn't even nothing special going on. We did our photo shoot with the family and went to CNS with a $600 meal.
Yeah.
Jeez. The tip, I know, the autograt on that was... a bill, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, so why get? We had great service that night.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So this not the CNS
over here by Cumberland.
Yeah,
y'all
top tier.
Ooh, it was wonderful. Top we will tier. Be back. Maybe not as a table of six. But
I missed my invitation on that one.
But no, I'm just not with it, man. I think that we believe that we deserve less for some reason, and I don't, and I'm not willing to accept it. Like I get attitude. We walked out of a restaurant one time. We was at what's the one in Buckhead that we used to like?
You want
to
say it?
Del Frisco.
Okay.
No, what are they gonna do to me? So, like, yeah, we went
they're
to Del Frisco.
On the wall.
Man, we went to Del Frisco and we ordered some food or tried to order some food. It got weird. I was like, I'm out.
Oh, they didn't return. Like, they never came back to the table. Like, all the food was cold. And we had our girls with us and it was just like terrible service. Even the girls were like, you know, they felt like, why isn't anybody coming? Did we do something? And then now you feel like making our family feel and making our girls feel inadequate or not good enough at the table. One receiving bad service and then cold food and no one ever coming to check on. I'm like, I don't even think they even know that we had like left because, I mean, probably not until the restaurant closed.
I wasn't rolling. I'm like, we out. I told everybody, get up. Her being the great person that she is, was like, let's just wait. Let's just get somebody's attention. And then she was like, they're going to chase us outside. I'm like, let them. Like, they ain't been here.
Right.
So that'll be the first time that they came to chase us to do anything. They ain't tried to bring no food, no napkins, no silverware. We was missing stuff. I'm like, they'll have to get it outside.
Yeah.
Like, I just, I don't deserve that. I don't think anybody deserves that. I think if you're in the customer service business, like, your job is to serve the people.
Right.
And I think that's across the board, like, just in life. We're all, I think everybody in the world is in some form of sales and customer service every day. Mm-hmm. You're trying to sell your employees on working for you. You're trying to convince them that this is a place that they should buy into. You're trying to convince your spouse,
right,
your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case may be, like, hey, you should be here. Here's what's in it for you to be here with me. Mm-hmm. So it's a level of customer service and sales every day, just in personal relationships and in professional relationships. So it's like, what are we doing? Like, you don't want shitty customer service anywhere you go, but you'll give it at home. Mm-hmm. You'll give it to your kids.
Yeah,
they'll give it to you. Mm. I tell my, you know, what do we tell the kids all the time? Like, half-ass cleaning the kitchen, washing the dishes, but leaving the counter dirty. Doing all the stuff, but not sweeping the floor. Don't put, you know, like, hold on. Like,
forks,
what are we doing?
Mixed in with the knives.
Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't do our house like that. We live here. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, because if you did the dishes at someone else's house, you wouldn't be doing the dishes.
They'd be like, again, placed all nicely.
Everybody decides that a certain person or people deserve this, and everybody else gets that. I want to be on the other side.
So what do you do? What, like, even if it's like just subpar service, is there like a standard amount of like percentage that you tip?
Well, I'm going to give you 18-20% just because that's just who I am. Okay. And I also have the, I got a tip for all the black people that didn't tip before me attitude. You know, I do that. I'm okay. Like, let me make sure that we not the table that they like, ah, see.
Yeah.
Dude showed up, you know, got his white tee on, jeans, and then he left me $5.
Right.
So now I got to over tip or at least give you the 20. So you got to
like overcompensate for
it. Yeah.
For all 41 cents.
For everybody that came before me. But I'm also a person that's just like, I'll not pay for any of this.
Yeah.
And then we got to just figure it out because I understand. I waited tables coming up. That's the one job I always tell her, like, if it all went bad, I would go back and wait tables immediately. Mm-hmm. That's the job. That's the job I actually loved. It's a job I actually appreciated. I made cash tips. I took them home. And that was my grind from like age 19 to maybe 22. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do in the music business. Mm. I loved waiting tables. That is the one job, like I said, if it all went bad tomorrow, and I was like, we don't have the money to like pay the bills, I would go to somebody's restaurant and I would wait tables. But I think everybody should wait tables.
I think so too. I think that really humbles you. Mm-hmm. And you, and like working and waiting tables and serving people shows you like, okay, this is how I would want to be treated. And also, this is what people go through on the back end of, like, you know, greeting tables and serving food. Like, you should have at least 6 months of serving tables before you do anything else in life.
I agree. I think you should. I think everybody should just go through that process. Because
or at least with some kind of customer service.
Yeah, something. Just so you understand that it ain't always, like, the person that you're dealing with fault. It ain't always the waiter or waitress's fault that things are happening.
Right.
It could be the kitchen. It could be management. It could have just been, they could have been oversat. It could have just been bad flow. It's a lot of things that go wrong that aren't necessarily on the person that you're talking to directly. And I'm sure y'all can understand that from people, customers calling y'all and going off on y'all. And y'all like, hold on, I don't own this company. The money's not in my pocket. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So even, y'all ever had bill collectors call y'all and they get at y'all like, it's their money? You're like, this is personal to you. Why?
Yeah.
It's a job.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I get what you got to do, but
you ain't got to be nasty about it.
You talking to me like I took it from you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you threatening my life like I came up in your home.
I'm like, do you want me to just Venmo you? Because that's the way that you're talking to me.
Right. You look like I just took your last $5 and now you're like, you're getting at me. And I'm like, we got to get off the phone. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, there's a certain, and there's just finesse. Yep. There's a finesse that you should have in life, period. You would never walk up, well, y'all are women, but y'all would, I wouldn't, as a man, I would never walk up to a woman like, you should be with me. And she'd be like, why? I mean, just because it's great for me. It makes me look great. Yeah. And she's like, okay, well, what's in it for me? I mean,
being next to me.
That's a terrible sales pitch, is it not? And that
it might work for some people.
Maybe.
People might like that. Like,
we do live in Atlanta.
Aggressive. Hey. Like, oh, girl, he just told me I should be with him, and I am.
Tiff has a story that she told me from years ago when we first got together. She said they was at, he was on South Beach somewhere, and some dude was like, they was just walking, some girls walking by, and the dude was like, yo, what that mouth do? And I'm like, man, that's a terrible sales pitch. But I promise you that it has worked
on somebody
at some point. So he was like,
didn't work on me.
Play the averages, right? Play the numbers.
Girl like walks away. She's like, what does my mouth do?
So you just every now and then every it works. And he's just like, yo, man, if I ask enough women.
Let me show you. And it works.
There you go. See, if you ask enough, if one or two go for it, you're like, shh, why would I ever break this? So I, every time I see a guy do something stupid like that, I'm like, that's worked for him before.
Yeah.
He didn't, 91, he didn't try to.
Yeah, he didn't try that out today.
Yeah.
He did it because it worked at one point, and then he was like, I'm bringing that back.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, Tiffany.
Yeah.
All right. So switching, we're going to switch a little bit over to your experience in the music industry. Can you?
Go ahead.
Can tell us how you really feel. Tell us about your experience, better or worse customer service when you are out being in the music industry. Do you feel like you get better service or do you feel you get worse service because people like see you and like how you dress or they may know you or recognize you in like how they serve you?
I mean, in Atlanta, I'm going to get access. I'm going to get better service. I'm all for privilege. I'm pro privilege if it works for me. If it gets me in the door, if it gets me the seat at the table that it was booked for everybody, like the Keith Lee thing, when he'd be like, no, trick me regular. I'm like, he's a fool. Like, why would you ever do that? Like, people are like, it's a 2-hour wait, but we can get you. And he's like, nah. I'm like, that's idiotic. Let me get his table.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's tripping. But I mean, I think I get fairly good service and access here when they recognize who I am. You know what I'm saying? It's just, people tend to treat people better when they feel like you're of a certain stature, status, reputation, or whatever the case may be. Yeah. Or if they, especially if they think they can get something from you, so they're not going to flip out. When they don't know you, people treat you like whatever.
Right.
And that's the real person. The real person is when they don't know who you are, and they're just like, there's no benefit to them.
Like, why am I going to run the extra mile for you? I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, no. But I mean, I've definitely been in restaurants because like this is my normal attire.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wake up every day and it's a white tee, it's a black tee, it's hats, it's Jordans, it's jeans. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't really switch up much. If I have to switch up, something's going on. Something significant's happening. I'm not just throwing on a suit just to do it. Like shouts out to all like the Emerging 100 type guys. Like that ain't my steez. Y'all emerging, y'all different.
I mean, to give that face.
You know, that's your type though, right? You like them brunch boots and like red, the red bottom brim hat.
Absolutely, no, you are gaslighting right there, sir. You know, I hate those hats.
No,
he knows only because he knows I hate those hats so much. Those things, that's a whole nother episode. I just need a full podcast on how much I hate those. Goddamn hat.
Full brim?
The full brim. They need to be destroyed.
Wow. Like the guys with like the high pants?
Right here? Yeah, like don't show your fucking socks. Like, no.
Oh,
like,
y'all
yeah,
know. Okay.
Like, gotcha. And that goddamn store that's in Phipps Plaza, they have a whole store for those hats.
Was it Keith David? I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I had anxiety going in there one time.
Hey, and this segment is brought to you by the Red Hat Brim Store at Phipps Plaza. You go there and get your hats right now.
I didn't want anyone but her.
I didn't really think he was going to go down that road.
I know. Triggered.
Hey,
triggered.
Man, I'm so glad you did that. That was amazing. Wow.
Oh, my God.
So,
I know.
Who knew? So, talking about, like, this is how you dress every single day.
Mm-hmm. I need to grow up.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't going to go there, but if that's how you feel.
Mm-hmm. I need to grow up.
Okay. So how do you feel about the restaurants that are like no athletic wear, no you know ball caps, no sneakers? Anything
okay,
like
I'm gonna tell you why that's so cap, because exceptions are made for exceptional people.
Mm.
In Atlanta for sure. Because
is it because didn't one that one basketball player walked into a little what is that in Buckhead Shop?
Little Bible.
And it was wild because Warren, like I said, I stick to that. Exceptions are made for exceptional people. The person they turned around, I feel like was it Dominique that they turned around?
Yes.
It was the wildest thing. Like of all basketball players in the city to turn around, you don't turn around Dominique Wilkins. That's insane. He's a hometown hero and he'll be that way till he dies.
Mm-hmm.
He has a statue in the city, for God's sake. Y'all can't let him eat in your restaurant. But I feel like, yeah, like why? What's the dress codes were instituted to kind of establish a standard, right? But in Atlanta, let's keep it real, like the standard is us.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that a lot of us don't like kind of adhere to dress codes is like, well, the sneakers that I have on actually are like $300-$400. They cost what the dress shoes cost.
Right.
The brim hat that you hate, that's a $600 hat. You know what I'm saying? Like these are, the white tee that special, my homeboy Special is walking in with is a $300 white tee. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, the thing that you're trying to establish is that there's a certain type of, you know, class of people that are in this restaurant. Well, I'm the class. I just don't look like him.
Right.
He got on Birkenstocks and some khakis and a button down. And you think that he's of more whatever than I am. That's crazy. I might make triple what he makes, or I might move in the circles that he doesn't move in. But you just have assumed that he holds some kind of whatever. So Atlanta has, to me, has done a great job of making it normal for people that look like me.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the hip-hop community, honestly, because when 2 Chainz walks in, 2 Chainz is not changing clothes to come eat with you, and y'all know y'all don't want 2 Chainz to leave,
right?
Y'all want Chainz, y'all want Tip, y'all want Baby, y'all want Gunna, y'all want Thug, y'all want Future, y'all want all of them to come in here and spend the money. But you're gonna tell them they can't come here because they got a Braves hat on, like, or they got sneakers on? Like, come on. So Atlanta has done a great job of, like, learning the, okay, we got to kind of play the game a little bit here. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes Atlanta super, super special. So I'll give us that. And I think that every city should adhere to the local maneuvering. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, like, if you opened up a restaurant in Miami, you would kind of adapt to a beach vibe, culture. If you opened up something in New York, you would adapt to that skyscraper building, you know, that feel. Same thing with LA. Houston, Dallas, like, certain cities have a culture that you, Vegas, it's a perfect example. When you're in Vegas, kind of things happen in Vegas that don't happen nowhere, and people be like, ah, it's Vegas. You just blow it off. Like, we in Vegas, so of course there's cocaine at the dinner table. You know what I'm saying? Of course there's strippers or like prostitutes walking around.
Hands down, Nick has been my favorite guest so far.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But if you saw that in Charlotte, you'd be like, whoa, what's happening here?
What is going on?
You know what I'm saying?
We don't do this here.
You know, we don't do this here. Like, it's strange. So I feel like every city needs to adapt to the thing in Atlanta, you know what I'm saying, for better or for worse, because I know some people be like, see, that's the problem. But
yep.
Atlanta has done a great job of making us feel welcome, because we will come and spend the money.
Mm.
Shouts out to Nobu, too, because last time I went to Nobu, me and Kendall went and sat at the bar, and we was in whatever. I think I might have had slides on that day. And they was like,
They were like, you can just come in?
As long as he can afford it.
Right. You're gonna pay his
and bill. That's how it should be to me. Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing?
But okay, so let me ask you. If you had this idea and you wanted to open your restaurant, right? And you had this idea of, like, what it looked like, what it felt like, what it smelled like when you came through the door, like, just like when you go to, like, the one hotel in Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that smell. Mm-hmm. You expect for it to smell like that every time that you go in, right? You expect for the rooms to look a certain way. You expect for the type of music for you to be able to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And if one thing kind of is off kilter, does that, like, mess with the brand? Because there's so much that goes into branding something, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, just intentionality behind, you know, what kind of fabric you're going to be using, whatever, like, the case may be. So, like, as an entrepreneur, as somebody who is, like, a restaurant owner, you know, can you see their side of it where they're like, no, like, I do want this to be a, like, I don't want you to come in here with a hat on, because, like, we're not just saying that to you, but we're holding that, like, we're standing firm on that across the board, because it's going to mess with the brand. Like,
I can always see their side, 1,000%, but I think what you're trying to establish is a culture, and I don't think it has anything to do with what they have on. Now, what Atlanta did do, which is why I love Atlanta, right? So the way to disguise, like, blatant racism in anything is price. And the assumption is, if I make the price high enough, they
won't
be able to get in here.
Right.
Whoever the they for them is. But usually money is the thing that kind of breaks it down, right? So, and I see this work tremendously well in other cities. In Atlanta, the guy who walks in the door with the white tee and the jeans and the sneakers got money.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even price us out of the thing, which is why I like how Atlanta works. You know what I'm saying? Like, because again, you're trying to establish a culture, but the culture you want is just people who can come in here and kick it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
They come in. They just don't look like how you want them. And once you make your, like, once you kind of break away from that, you got to stick with it. Because it's hard to set it up, take it away, and then put it back. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So think about every restaurant in this city, almost all of them, that have started as a, we're going to hold everybody to this standard, right? You know what happens? Them bills get due. And you know what pays all the bills? Black Knight. Black Knight at every high-end club and restaurant in the city pays all the bills because we'll stand in line, we'll pay extra to jump the line, we'll get a section, we'll buy the bottles, we'll do all the stuff. That one Friday night where y'all let black people in pays for the week or the month in some cases, depending on what the party is. And so, again, y'all really just want our money. Y'all just don't want the riffraff that come with us. You might want to set up somewhere else.
But why... I guess, like, why does it have to be riffraff that comes with us? Like, I don't, like...
Oh, no, I don't... I mean, I don't think it has to be riffraff, but, I mean...
Sometimes it is.
And even when I say the riffraff...
Bottle, just okay, Cristal coming across
perfect the room. Okay. Even me using that word, when I said riffraff, what did you automatically, like... What was the image that popped in your head? Us, right?
Well, yeah.
It was us.
Yeah. Because, like, that's what they assume.
You ever been to a white bar and seen a fight?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, like
they be, and they really fight.
They be drunk. They go hard.
Like,
and I'd be like, oh, y'all act like this don't happen. I've been around that and seen them get into it. Now it may not,
but they don't have to price them though. Price gouge them.
Nah, because
they got
it's,
$4 beers and $2 shots and
because they ain't
$18
going.
Bottle of Ciroc or
they
Grey
not,
Goose.
They not rolling. And okay, here's
but
the thing.
They are rolling.
No, not rolling like money. I'm talking about they ain't rolling. They not going for that. You're not going. In it, I can only speak for Atlanta because I've seen in Vegas. In Vegas, again, anything goes, right? I've seen white people waiting long lines in Vegas. I've seen them buy sections, buy multiple bottles, spend thousands and thousands of dollars. But in Atlanta, yes, I've seen it at certain spots, but the Atlanta crowd that's going to go out on the weekend, you're not going to put them in line, hold no line for an hour
right.
to try to get them to pay the skip line price, the VIP price. You're not going to make them get a section. You're not going to make them buy a bottle. They're going to come in throughout the night, and they're going to order beer, cocktail, and they're going to keep it rolling. Mm-hmm. We don't, for whatever reason, we don't tend to do that. So, I'll tell you this, if you tried to put them in line, they'd be like, I'm going somewhere else.
Right.
Because the other thing about what I've noticed about groups that are not black is that they will, they'll party regardless. They'll come in and have a good time if it's six people in there. Mm-hmm. We get in there and be like, ain't nobody in here.
Hey, I'm right. leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to come in there and patronize regularly, which I think is fantastic. I think if you're a business, you want regular patrons, but you do need that night or two where it's up.
Yeah, pays all the bills.
Pay all the bills. Because that's how you keep the doors open.
Right. Well, so shifting gears here a little bit, you currently work at 1 RPM here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. How important is it for you to deliver customer service to the artists and management you deal with?
Oh, it's 100% of my job. Like, I'm a marketer by trade, but like I said, it's about customer service. I'm selling and handling customer service all day long. In the music business, I mean, let me say this. My job absolutely has an HR department. We have there is a procedures and guidelines, but in the music business, it's very fast and loose. And the artist, the other employee, everybody just kind of coming in with egos and attitudes, all the time. So you have to know how to navigate through that. You're dealing with a bunch of street guys who are fresh off the block, who have figured out how to make a record, and now they got some money.
Yeah.
And they have an opportunity to change their lives or change the lives of their family. They want it to get done. They want it to get done now, and they want it to be done right. And so they're going to push you just because they will. That's just the nature of people. But they got to kind of like you a little bit and respect you enough to say, all right, cool. When I hit Nick, this is what I'm going to say. And then Nick, and we're going to do a back and forth, and I'm going to let you win. You're going to have to let me win sometimes. It's going to be you're going to feel like we're having a conversation and we're working together. It can't feel like I work for you because that's not what it is. But you also can't feel like you work for me because that's absolutely not what it is. You know what I'm saying? There has to be this a level of trust and respect and rapport with each other. And I find that the people who don't do well in this business, they just haven't figured out how to establish that level of rapport with the artist or the management. It's always we can't do that. It's like, why?
Why not?
Why? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the music, man. We can literally do anything.
Mm-hmm.
There are no rules. That's the coolest thing about being in the music business. It's the coolest thing that I'm starting to see with like the NIL stuff with like college sports and whatnot. Like, there are no rules. It's the wild, wild west right now. Mm-hmm. So it's time to figure it out. Same thing with podcasting. Well, there ain't no rules in this.
It's new. And so everyone's kind of making up.
Yeah. Nobody's figured out
There's
exactly
no proven
like.
Way.
Yeah. Like, with, I would say with like traditional radio, we've established like, you go 10 to 2, 2 to 6, 6 to 10. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's been around so long that we figured out what is quote unquote the structure. Podcasts, they can be 10 minutes, an hour, 3 hours, 8 hours, whatever.
Right.
do two-second podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, just checking in. Peace. And then get up, done. And I'd be like, man, that shit got 1,000 streams. You're like, what? They didn't even do nothing. But like I said, this is we're in an age where between technology and the way people just are at this point, especially like post-pandemic, mm-hmm. you can do anything you want to. So why we can't do that? Why can't we deliver cakes to every girl on your email blast, you know what I'm saying? And for your new Valentine's Day song. Mm. Might not make economical sense, but we can do it.
You can do it.
If it's in your budget, you know what I'm saying? We can do it if, you know what I'm saying? We just got to have that kind of rapport with each other. But I see people flake out of this thing all the time. Like, I've been in this 18, 19 years in the music business successfully, paying bills, raising kids, having a family, the whole nine. And so many people started with me that are not here anymore. Mm. That is like, and I look around and actually, I take the bet. The ones that ain't here, they ain't here for a reason. The ones that still here, they here because they do what they do. You know what I'm saying? And they do it over and over and over again. Like, y'all just had my boy here. Like, you know, Ray has managed to survive in this business. I call us all, we survivors. You manage to go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing and just have success. And it's hard to do, but if you know what you're doing, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
No, you just, it's customer service round the clock. The artists want what they want, and you got to be able to provide it or at least explain why you can't. Mm. Some people suck at explaining.
Yeah, I think that's the communication part. It's just they don't know how to be able to say like what they want and why.
Yeah.
It's like it's needed.
It's parenting.
Yeah. So like dealing with artists, mm-hmm. and then you had mentioned this earlier about you don't like it, like just keeping it real. But do you feel like you keeping it real is better communication with them, or do you feel like I should sugarcoat it? I should be like go about it the nice way so that you know I can keep the client or artist happy. Like, or am I just gonna be real with you up front?
The real answer is, keeping it real a lot of times is the worst thing you can do in the music business. And this is as a person who has done it, who's currently doing it. And every time I've ever kept it real with an artist, I would tell you the majority of the time it bit me. Because I think I'm like, yo, let me just tell you exactly what's happening. So there's no confusion as to you thinking it's me or it's the company or it's this or it's that. Here's what's happening. Your budget is this.
Right.
This is what you've spent. You can't do that right now. And lo and behold, a week later, they'd be like, well, Nick said. And I'm like, well, okay.
Shit.
Yes, but that was, I thought we were having a
honest conversation.
Man-to-man mm-hmm. honest conversation, so you knew what was going on, because I thought we could have that kind of conversation.
Right.
And what I realized is the music business, everybody don't want to do that. Everybody doesn't want to do that. Everybody doesn't want to have honest conversation. Everybody wants to kind of feel good. Mm. And I'm not, I find that, and I think I've told Tiff this before, I find that people, I always look at how people grew up. I find that people that played like team sports or that were part of a team, they're way better than people who weren't. Because you've had to like sacrifice, you've had to be a part of a thing, and you knew how to like look out for the next person and take care of the weak link on, you know, whoever was the weakest link on the team. You was like, well, we got to make sure she cool.
Right.
We got to make sure he cool. Like, we know who the slowest guy on the team is. We know who the slowest girl or who's the weakest guy in the weight room. So everybody got to kind of pull together to make sure they cool. A lot of times with like the music business, it's a bunch of people who have never been a part of anything, and they think it's supposed to go the way that they want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you like,
not like that.
Yeah, it's like, it ain't that. So, and they feel like they want it to go their way, and they're going to go through hell and high water to make sure that it is the way that they want it. So I'm going to be me as much as I can. I'm cool with being fired, let go, put aside, passed over, being who I am. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. This is it's an image business. Everybody want to be a boss. So I don't care nothing about that. I want to get paid. I want to go out to eat. And I want to buy sneakers.
Well, I care.
She cares.
I do.
She cares. She's way more passionate about my positioning than I am.
Because there was, I think I told you, like there was a movie premiere, whatever it was, about like a biography of Atlanta. It was like, oh, you can't mention Atlanta without mentioning.
She was hot about
that. .. These people. And I'm like, hold up. I went searching because I'm like, you literally cannot mention Atlanta without mentioning Nick Love. Everybody who comes to the city reaches out to mm-hmm. you for marketing and street team and mm-hmm. artists, or, you know, God forbid the J word,
yeah.
you know, like, you know, all these things. And it's just like,
and how come you weren't? And like, it was the same. And like, you know, props to those people. Like, yes.
Yeah, because the people that would pick, those are my people.
Yeah.
And they deserve to be there. Yeah, she was upset. I was like,
but I am going to be, because I've been around next to you for this for a long time. And I think that you deserve to have just as much recognition as those people do.
But I get it. But see, like, the thing for me is, I do get it. It may not be at that particular function or that particular thing, but I don't walk around this city with a grudge. Like, these people aren't recognizing who I am. I don't feel that way. Like, it's not a.
I'll do it for you.
She'd be tight. I'd be like, what are we talking about? Like, no, I'm like, did we miss a meal today? Like what happened? Like, did something get taken from us? Did a house get foreclosed? No, car get everything's fine. What are we talking about? You should have been on that thing. I'm like, should I? I guess, whatever. It ain't stopping nothing. Everything is gonna continue to move, because you know I'm good at what I do.
Yeah,
and exactly. I can do it no matter where.
You're good
I am.
At what you do, so you should that. Be you know highlighted for it.
But that's why y'all gonna be here for a while. Like, y'all are actually good at this, and y'all actually care about this. Oh,
thank you.
Like, seriously, like,
no, that means a lot.
Seriously, like, okay, I remember when she first told me about the idea for this podcast, and I'm like, okay, whole thing on customer service, I ain't never seen that. Okay, go for
wow,
it.
Wow, what a yawn.
No, I didn't. No, you know what? I'm going to tell you what's ill about that. I didn't even think it wasn't what a yawn. It was, I want her to do something. I want Tiff to do something that make her happy. Mm-hmm. I want her to do something that she's going to be like, I know this. I'm good. Because I know what that feels like. Like, she's right. People call me all the time for marketing stuff, restaurant stuff, sneaker stuff, you know, all that. Like, so I know what it feels like for people to be like, Nick is the guy at that.
Right.
Tiff always says, I don't have that thing where people are like, I am, she's the, you know what I'm saying? So when she said that she wanted to do it, I'm like, okay, cool. If this is the thing that makes you feel like you're the man, you're the woman in that field, go do that. Cause right. I promise you, you'll have some level of fulfillment out of it. Mm. And that's the kind of what I want for everybody. Like, I want that for my kids, but I want it for strangers too. Cause I feel like everybody feels like money's gonna fix everything. And I tell her all the time, like, you're just gonna be miserable with some money. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be sad with some money? You're going to be depressed with some money? Like, we're okay.
Yeah.
We tight right now. Money tight right now. We got a lot of stuff going on at the house with the kids. Got kids going to college. We got all kind of stuff happening. But we okay.
Like, Tiffany's like, we're going to
get another 1,000 subscribers.
Hey, nah. But,
go ahead and click that button.
But I always tell her, I say, yo, did we miss a meal today?
No. Nope.
It's all good.
Right.
Like, everything's fine. And I tell people that all the time. I'm like, bro, I know people who are a little bit more successful than me that are miserable. My partner Nando, that passed away years ago, I'll never forget this. You know, me and Tiff were together. Nando was with us. And Nando was, for those who don't know, DJ Nando was like one of the biggest DJs in Atlanta. He was the strip club guy. So anytime you see like caricatures of strip club DJs in Atlanta, they'd be like, you know, take your money out, make sure you tip the girl. Woo-woo. If you ain't got no money, go. Anytime you see that in a movie or a TV show, they're mimicking him. Mm. He's the one who was that guy when it came to being the mic. Being on the mic at like strip clubs and DJing clubs. And Nando used to do Onyx on Fridays. And Nando was the DJ, the promoter. Like that was him. Like, Nando was cleaning up left and right. Couldn't stop making money. Artists would come in, tip him money to play the record. So he was making money 4 or 5 different ways every night. Nando pulled up in a brand new Jeep. This is like when the Jeep Wranglers had just got hot. He got his rims on, it's all souped up. And he's like, man, I wish I had what you and Tiff had. And I was looking at him like, you want this? We a mess. Yeah, you don't want this. But he was serious. He was dead serious. Like, man, like,
we're hanging on by a thread. I didn't even want to be here today.
I'm like, she mad at me right now. I'm like, you want this? But he was like, yo, like, nah, man, I really like, I like how y'all move. She's always around. She comes over. You want her here. She don't just show up and like she bugging you. It's like, you want her around. He's like, I want that, man. Like, man, like.
Oh, good old Nick and Dime.
Yeah, yeah. And he was like, yo, like, I remember that. And I know that's something that's always stuck in my head, that I watch people who I think are getting it and that are doing well and that are seemingly very, very happy. Not to say that he was depressed or anything, but to see somebody who I look at as being here and they being like, I want what you got.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay, we cool.
Yeah.
Everything, life is good, you know? So
it's a different lens, being able to look at it from like, yeah, like you look really happy and that's like a really good relationship, but you just don't know, you know, what's underneath. Or, man, like, you've got a nice house, but shit.
It's perspective.
but that mortgage payment.
But just to circle it back to customer service, it's all perspective, right? When people, when you're a server and you're waiting on tables, your perspective is these people look like they're going to tip. Mm-hmm. These people look like they're not. These people look like they're going to be a headache. These people look, you know what I'm saying? Right. It's all perspective. So you got to remember, like, it ain't always what it looked like. I've seen people put, earlier in the music business, I remember one of my partners, he had just got a crib at the Atlantic Station at the 12. Mm. This is like when it first opened, when it was like the hot new thing to be at. And I went to his crib one time and he had Ciroc and Chinese food in the refrigerator. That was it. Mm. He had a couch, a TV, Ciroc, Chinese food. This is all in a little studio, little thing in the 12. And I was like, oh, no, okay, we just lying out right now, right? We just telling people, oh, yeah, I live at the 12. It's like, yeah, but are you?
Yeah.
You're not really living
not
here.
Living. You're struggling. You're struggling at the 12.
It's tight over here. You know what I'm saying? So you just start to kind of be like, oh, okay. So that changed. Those instances, like I said, with Nando and my man and just people, the things that I see, it changed my perspective on all of this, on money, on recognition, on customer service, all of it. I just look at all of it and say, yo, we're guessing and hoping and making assumptions.
Yeah.
And those assumptions have helped a lot of people win. They've helped a lot of people. Yeah, it's killed some people. Assumptions have killed people. Mm. You know, we talk, you know, if we would still go deep on, like, you know, George Floyd and, like, you know, like cop killings and stuff, like assuming that a person moves a certain way because he has on a certain, you know, clothes or jewelry or move a certain way is like, that's gotten people killed.
Right.
So I'm very, like, anti that. Let's just treat people better. You know,
well, like living in the South and it being known for the Southern hospitality, right? Mm-hmm. How has the customer service scene changed to you?
Y'all New Yorkers fucked it up. Y'all out of towners.
Dang.
Put the camera in. You out of towners. Y'all have ruined Atlanta and I hate you for it. With the fire of 1,000 suns. You guys are awful, awful people.
Talk about a trigger question. All right.
No, it ain't. I mean, I'm exaggerating. It's a little hyperbole. But when I grew up in Atlanta, there was a very down-home Southern hospitality feel to it. Like, that's the Atlanta I grew up on. I remember going to soul food restaurants on Candler Road. I remember going to stores on Wesley Chapel and Decatur. Like, this is the hood, quote unquote. But the service was the service. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't even recall as a kid, like, feeling like, oh man, we got bad service. We just got service. We got the service that everybody else got.
Right.
It didn't feel like I was getting better, worse. I was getting picked up, maybe because everybody that was around me was the same. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But I just remember feeling like Atlanta used to be a certain way. Now it has become very separated and y'all go over here, y'all go over there. And I don't fault anybody for getting some money and wanting this to do or see or experience better. But I do fault the people who are providing the services for everybody to make the people who are not able to do so feel like shit in the process. It's like, yo, bro, if I'm already struggling financially, don't make me feel worse.
Right.
You know, it's like going to the bank and the teller is like, oh, okay. No, actually, I won't even tell that story. But y'all know what
I mean. No, wait, can't tell the story.
But you go to the bank and they're like, sir, you have, and they say it loud, like, we like, yo, the whole bank don't need to know I got $2.40 in my account. Like, yo, like, come on.
That's just my play account.
Yeah. Now you gotta, like, you know what I'm saying? It's weird. But I remember, I think AG Entertainment, Alex. I remember seeing Alex do a girl dirty. She walked up to the door at the club. This was at a Velvet Room, and she was trying to go through her purse, find her ID, and get her money out. And he just like went at her purse and like rambled through it to go. He like, come on, we gotta go. And I was like, oh, we're cool with this because nobody moved when he said this. Like when he did this at the front door of the club, everybody saw it and everybody was like, yeah, she gotta hurry up. You know, she holding the line up. Gotta go.
Should have had your ID ready.
Yeah, should have had her ID ready. So nobody felt bad for her. She didn't feel like, oh my gosh, you went through my purse. I'm leaving. She took it and she kept it. And watching even just the black party scene of AG Entertainment, and I'm not blaming him for all the bad customer service, but I am saying that culture of we ain't necessarily got to treat you amazing for you to come in here and spend this money. When everybody was cool with that, that's when Atlanta went left, because then it became the norm of I don't have to cater to you. You are just a number in this club, and if you ain't buying a section, if you ain't buying a bottle, I don't actually owe you anything. You lucky to be in here with us. And it's like, I don't know how we got there.
Yeah, and that's a culture I don't like, because I mean, I used to work at Twist back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And like when Twist was open, you know, you had the housewives come in there. You had mm-hmm. every basketball player, every football player, anybody who was in music. And it was like, you only got that, you know, the good service or, you know, the attention if you had some kind of like notoriety mm-hmm. and people noticed you or if you pulled up, because people would do like a slow drive by on like
those are the good days.
those were the good days. But like, they would do a slow drive by in front of the restaurant, have their music up. They would have the top down on their car, and everybody on the patio, it would be like become quiet, and everybody would watch, you know, whoever was driving by. And of course they were driving by in like a, you know, a Rolls Royce or whatever, a Bentley, and it was the attention, and it was known that they were going to come into the restaurant. Mm-hmm. But like there was just a certain dynamic of that when those people came in, people just like flocked, like, oh, well, what do you need? Like, it was like, oh, let me wash your feet, basically. Like, and it was like, okay, like there are people coming in here spending the same amount of money that these people are probably more than likely going to spend too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the calamari is still the calamari.
Yeah, like, the price didn't change.
The price is not changing, you know? And so that is like the one thing I didn't like about, you know, like sometimes like the culture is like,
yeah.
Like, damn, can like we give it like a break a little bit? Because
club
like
culture ruined Atlanta customer service.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna go on record as saying that. Matter of fact, we should tweet that later. I should post that later. Club culture in Atlanta ruined customer service in Atlanta because once we got okay.
I don't hate you.
Once we got okay with
not be able to go anywhere.
It's like the thing is, like, once we got okay with saying you guys deserve less because you can't afford this, mm-hmm. and everybody was cool with it, even the people who were getting the bad service. That was the beginning of the end, because it started to say, I mean, look at how the clubs are built in Atlanta, right? Like, there's no dance floor. There's no general population area.
That's
it's
true.
Section, 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 section on top of section. So if you're not in a section, it's almost telling the people, if you don't have a section, you don't deserve to be here.
Yeah.
So everybody either got to get a section or you need to stay home. And mm-hmm. once the people who got sections were like, haha, y'all can't get sections. And the people who couldn't get the section was like, man, that sucks. I can't get sections. And we didn't say, yo, that's not fair. I want to have a good time. Once those people didn't stand up and say, we deserve to be in here. We deserve to have a good time too. And everybody was cool. That trickled down to the restaurants. It trickled down to the valet. It trickled down to everything across the board. And now look at us. So, I mean, I think we got a problem on our hands. So, like, what y'all do is actually kind of, like, necessary to call attention to like the bad customer service. Like, I actually think y'all should just do like horror stories, because y'all could do them forever. Y'all could just bring people on here and be like, yo, like, tell us your worst customer, and I promise you they would never stop talking. You'd have a harder time remembering the good stuff.
Yeah,
but like I said, we've gone out plenty of times and had amazing service.
Yeah,
like we went to 246 the other night in downtown Decatur. Mm-hmm. Great service. We went to CNS when we took the family out. We had great service. Like, we've been to a lot of cool places. The candle shop that Kylie, Baron Honey,
yep.
Great service. Like, we've had good service around the city, but unfortunately, the good service doesn't stand out. It's the bad experiences that make you be like, I gotta tell somebody how crazy they treated me or tried to treat me at a spot, because you know that should make you want to flip a table over.
Yeah,
and some people do.
Mm-hmm. I haven't flipped a table over yet, but I have gotten. I mean, you're right. Like the bad experiences definitely they stick in your mind, and you want to talk about them. And it's a conversation starter, mm-hmm. for sure. But like one more question:
mm-hmm.
what would be like one of your, I would say, like either best and worst dining experiences, hands down?
Best dining experience was probably the first time I went to Capers.
Oh, in Kennesaw?
So there's a restaurant up in Kennesaw. Was that Cobb? Is that Cobb or is that Cherokee County? I don't know what that is. So it's Cobb County. Black-owned restaurant. It sits in a public shopping plaza. It's the craziest thing, because from the outside, it don't look like it would be nothing.
Mm.
You go on the inside, and it's amazing. And it's like most of the customers are white, which is the illest thing. Most of the customers are white, with a mix of black, but it's two black owners. The chef is, and there's a husband and wife, The chef is the husband. The general manager is the wife, and they are an amazing couple. She's so fly. She's Miss Veronica. She's an older lady. She kick it. She kick it like a young girl. She always be on Instagram showing off her outfit and her boots. She fly. But like, I just remember going and being like, wow, this is an amazing restaurant. The food was great. The service was good. Everything was on point. And that left a real mark on me that, oh, okay, this is possible. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I didn't know it before, but like, no, yeah, it's like, it can be done. So y'all can't tell me that Black people cannot own a restaurant, have good service, and it trickled down from the top to the bottom.
And good food.
And good food. All of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, the experience from top to bottom was great. And I can't even think of a bad time. And they even got probably a nicer restaurant in Acworth called Fish Time.
Oh, yeah.
Service is equally amazing. Same ownership, the whole nine. So I think, again, it starts from the top and trickles its way down. They've hired the right people. They've hired the right staff. And they've just shown everybody, like, this is the standard that we hold. And they hold everybody to it. And they don't have no problem with the customers. They don't have no problem with staff. Like, it's been, they're doing well. I think
and if you ever go there, you should get the strawberry shortcake.
Yeah.
It's like amazing.
I could recommend them, you know what I'm saying, to the cows come home. Like, I speak very, very highly of them because, like I said, they got two.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of anybody can do two things. You know what I'm saying? I think, and this is a slight tangent from what the answer you're looking for is, but I think, and especially in the music business, we throw around the term genius too much. Mm. We like, oh, he's a genius. And I'm like, he did it one time.
Yeah.
That could be luck. Often it is luck. I'm like, call me when you do it a second time. Call me when you get the second artist, the second deal, the second thing. You know what I'm saying? It's always like, you can stumble upon the right artist one time. Mm. But when you see somebody like my man Coach K. Coach K has done it with Jeezy, with Gucci, with Rocco, with the Migos, with Lil Baby, with City Girl. Like, to me, Coach is a genius.
Right.
Because he can replicate what he does. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I look at the owners of Fish Time and Capers and say, you've done it twice. You can replicate what you've done, so you must be on to something, so I trust you. And if they open up a third restaurant, I'm right there, because I know the service is going to be solid. Worst restaurant experience I've had, or worst customer service experience I've had, shit, it might have been that night at Del Frisco. That was bad. Mm. That was real, real bad. Because like I said, everything was wrong, like from top to bottom. From the time we walked
through
the door.
What location was this?
This is the one off Peach Street, the one in Bucket, right by Lenox Mall. Yeah, it was just whack. And we had been there before and had a good time. But, you know, that night, everything went wrong. The food was bad. The service was bad. They sat us slow. Mm-hmm. They took our order slow. Like, it was just so bad across the board. And I was just like, man, like, come on. And like I said, it was so bad that when we got ready to walk out, wasn't nobody even trying to, like, stop us from walking out. That's how you know wasn't nobody paying no real attention to
it. That's sad.
I was like, oh, so y'all just going to let y'all? The food came. Right. We was like, I'm like, don't nobody eat nothing. We're leaving. Mm-hmm. And nobody was like, hey, is everything okay? Like, we was down the steps. Yeah. Tiff was the only one upstairs trying to, like, sort it out. I'm like, what you finna do? Because I'm not finna pay for it. Like, no matter what you say to these people, they're not going to get my card out. Like, that's not happening. So, I mean, that's the one that's, like, freshest on my mind. But I'm sure I've had some whack shopping experiences, like, where it had nothing to do with food. I'm sure, like, my worst customer service is, or maybe buying a car or something. I'm sure somebody, you know, like, I'm just trying to think, like, what was really, like, the worst experience. But that was fresh on my mind. It was whack. Yeah. Really, really, really whack.
So from an influencer and consumer standpoint, what is the one piece of advice or feedback that you would give to business owners who have staff that interact with customers?
Don't be yourself. Don't be yourself.
Don't be yourself?
No.
Oh, yeah. You like it for people to fake it. Fake it.
Fake it.
Please fake it.
Nobody
fake
really it. Like you. I want to fake you.
Like, people need to hear the honest truth. Like, you know, I was watching this thing earlier. Dude had a hoodie on. It said, you are enough. And I was like, what if you ain't? Like.
God damn.
No, but for real, like, people, like, you might be enough to, like, for your mother.
Sometimes.
But, like, you might not be enough for your for you to find love in Atlanta. Like, you might not, why
also
you might
not be enough.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, listen, I'm a big fan of The Market Speaks, right? So if you can't find love in Atlanta, maybe you ain't it. It's a chance. Oh, it might be you.
Triggered.
It might be you. I'm just saying.
And me, like me?
No, not
like,
you. Okay. I know I'm pointing at you, but like.
Wait,
It might.
Now I feel attacked.
Like me, but general me?
Like, nah, like, but or like people who look like me? Like Scorpios?
But
like,
I always, when people say, yo, I deserve this, I'm like, do you?
Yeah.
Like, do you? Like, I think every idea I have is $1 million idea, but if nobody wants to give me $1 million for it, is it $1 million idea? I don't know. I mean, maybe it ain't. Maybe it's a $50,000 idea. Maybe it's a $200,000 idea. Maybe it's a $30 idea. I don't know. But in your head, it's like, ah, I got the one. And it's like, but the market is telling you that it's not that.
Yeah.
And I feel like you have to tell people, like, don't be yourself. Like, because maybe yourself ain't the one that need to show up today. You need to be, let's go watch a movie. Let's go watch, what's the thing you like? She has a favorite movie with the girl. She's the food critic. What's the name of that movie?
Oh, My Best Friend's Wedding.
All right, cool. So at the beginning of the Best Friend's Wedding.
Oh, My Best Friend's
Wedding. Yes. The beginning of the Best Friend's, My Best Friend's Wedding. There's the girl, she's sitting there and she's like the food critic. And they're doing everything to prepare for, you know, for to bring the food
they're
out.
They're looking out the little window.
Yeah,
thing.
Like, yeah. I think every restaurant should show all their staff members that movie and say, act like that. Mm-hmm. Don't act like you. Act like that.
Right.
Because that's what we got to give our customers. Because if you give customers that, they'll come back. Even if the food is whack. Because Popeyes has amazing food. The customer service is the worst customer service ever.
That was our first episode.
Chick-fil-A has never done me bad.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A. Actually, y'all know, you know how good Chick-fil-A is? You know, every time that somebody has a complaint about Chick-fil-A, everybody be like, nah, you did something. It was you. People be like, what? True. I went to Chick-fil-A and my fries were cold. They like, nah, you ate them slow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You waited too long.
Nobody believes you when you tell somebody that you had a bad customer experience at Chick-fil-A because they've established that, nah, this is
But everyone gold believes standard. You that when you say you had a bad experience at Popeye.
Well, they can also share their bad story too.
If you tell somebody you had a bad experience at Popeye, they'd be like, of course.
Like, well, why'd you eat there in the first place?
What were you doing? Yeah, Spirit Airlines. When somebody has a bad... Do you remember when I flew to Miami on Spirit? Years ago, me and Big X, me and my man, we had a meeting with Ted Lucas from Slip and Slide. We was going to do a deal with the Coalition DJs and Slip and Slide Records. We fly down to Miami on Spirit. On the way back, a dude stands up and says he has a bomb. We landed in Atlanta. He was like, I got a bomb. I blow this whole thing up. I don't know what happened, but he didn't have no bomb. I'm still here.
Police came on, whatever.
And I remember telling X when we got in the car, I said, yo, you know if that like dude had a blew up the plane, people would have been like, why was y'all on Spirit anyway? Nobody would have felt bad for me. Nobody would have been like, oh man, Nick, he was so young. They'd have been like, why was he on Spirit? Because Spirit has the worst reputation.
People were like, Nick flew Spirit?
That's how bad Spirit is. That nobody even feels bad for you if a plane blew up. Dang. They look at you crazy. Customer service. That is customer service in a nutshell. You got to establish a standard of like, this is how we kick it here.
I really need that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, this is, you want to be the spirit? You want to be the spirit of girlfriends? The spirit of husbands? You want to be the Popeyes of spouses? Nobody wants to be the Popeyes of spouses. The Waffle House of spouses. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
we know what that means when somebody say that. They be like, man, you know, my girl, she's the Waffle House of, you be like, yikes. You hate her. Like, no, like, listen, my girl, she is the Chick-fil-A of kissers. She is the, you know what I'm saying? You want to, like, we know.
Standards.
Yeah, set some standards around here, man. Popeye's terrible.
Oh my God.
Spirit, terrible. Like, it's just all bad. You want to be the Delta Airlines of whatever you do.
You want to be the Delta Airlines of dating. Right. Top tier.
Yeah,
top tier.
Delta. I mean, who are y'all? I'll ask y'all, like, I know we wrapping up soon, but, like, what are y'all top? When y'all think of customer service, what brands or what companies are like the gold standard for y'all? I think we just like Chick-fil-A for sure is one of them.
Yeah. Target.
Who else? Target. Okay.
Who's my gold standard? Shit, I don't know.
She loves Delta. She's a Delta fan. Delta.
Yeah, I love Delta. Uh-huh. I mean, they could change a little bit of their rules for the new lounge and stuff, but you know.
Well, that new Amex lounge.
Oh, that. But Amex. Amex has amazing customer service.
Yes.
You can always figure out a way to be in contact with them. Like, and they make it easy. Like, it's effortless.
Yeah.
And they really, really care about their members. Discover. Like,
Discover has that good commercial. It's like it's talking to you. Like,
yeah.
You feel like
it's, oh, it is me.
It's me. Like, yeah.
It matters. And those companies are in business for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And the ones that we all struggle with, the ones that we all have problems with, none of us can figure out, like, how do y'all continue to be here? A lot of times it's the product is actually solid. Like, Popeye's chicken is amazing.
Yeah.
So you willing to sometimes put up with,
like, God damn it, this chicken is so good.
Yeah, the chicken's so good.
I hate that I have to go through this line one more time, but I'll do it.
Yeah, like Chick-fil-A, they're going to say, my pleasure, and you know, all the thank you, all this. You go to Popeye, like, yeah.
I know.
What? Like.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Yeah, they don't even say, can I take it? They say, take your order.
Right.
Take your order. That is the whole, take your order.
Like, wait. Like, you want like, did I miss my order the first? Or no? Okay.
Yeah, like, what are you, what are we doing? But, I don't know. People is weird.
Yes,
and
they are.
I don't know. I feel like people who do customer service jobs should probably be compensated a little better. I don't know.
We had another episode about that.
Please pay them better.
Please pay them more.
Well, we treat them like it's the lower rung on the thing, right?
Like, so, we treat them that, okay, well, you have this customer service job, and it's bottom of the barrel. It's on the bottom of the totem pole, and you don't deserve to be paid fairly. And, you know, we're just now coming up to what the minimum wage is like, what?
I don't even know.
Shit. 14, 15 bucks. I'm rich.
Yeah. I have no idea what comes to the minimum wage is. Not a clue. For real, what is it? Is it 7? 8?
It's like 14.
It's
like
really?
14, yeah. 25, yeah. I think it is.
But like, but it's not like that everywhere. But like that's, increased it. Like, don't quote me on that, but I think it's somewhere up there. That's but amazing. I mean, it is now. I mean, people can have somewhat of a, they don't have to live in a box anymore.
Yeah. You can live a Kroger bag.
Well, you think customer service is, like you said, is the entry level job, right? But I mean, it's a job that.
It's an entry level job, but not everyone can do it. And they're not, everyone is good at it.
Not everyone should do it.
It is a skill.
Right.
And I think, like, employers really need to look at that your customer service is the backbone of your company. If you don't have good customer service, everything else is going to go up in flames. Like, they're going to walk out on their food. You guys walked out because of why?
Customer service.
Right. You guys, because nobody came over and talked to you. Nobody, they greeted you, you know, or they didn't greet you, right? They sat you down, like, but everything, it's like a domino effect.
Right.
And so, like, you know, businesses need to learn that, like, hey, you should pay your people more, and like, maybe they'll, like, hopefully they will, in return, be more loyal and do a better job.
Well, companies just think they're easy to replace. Like, if my customer service rep is not good, I can just get another one. So they assume that it's easier to replace. But I deal with that too in marketing. You know, the thing in marketing has always been, you know, last hired, first fired. Mm. Once you get somebody's stuff going, they feel like, oh, okay, I can do it now.
Right.
I can put it on cruise control. And it's like, no. I even posted this morning. I was like, man, you know, the little trend on TikTok is like, I'm a such and such, of course. And I'm like, you know, I'm a marketer in the music business. Of course everybody think they can do my job. It's so easy. It's such an easy job. Everybody with Instagram page think they can do my job. It's like, actually, I'm kind of good at what I do.
Yeah.
And I know I'm good at it because the market keeps telling me that I'm good at my job. You know what I'm saying? So again, if you can't find love in Atlanta, the market is telling you.
I'm really feeling, all right, we're going to wrap this up right here. No, I'm just kidding. But
if you take away nothing from this episode,
right, exactly.
You're the problem.
Isaac, he had posted something a couple like months ago.
We talked about that too. You got to tune in on the Monday morning marketing meetings on Fanbase.
I know. Yeah. I need to get better at this. I'm not a morning person here. but he had, what did he mention? He had said it's not Atlanta.
It's you.
It's you.
Yeah, for sure. It's not us. We're great people. We're an amazing crop of people. I feel like Atlanta.
Agree.
I feel like Atlanta gets a bad rap because I know it's not us, because what happens is when you meet people in Atlanta and they say, "Oh wow, you're from Atlanta? I never meet any of y'all." So that means that the people that you're interacting with is people that ain't from here. So what's happening is you're moving to Atlanta as you, girl X from Chicago, you meet girl Y from LA, y'all get the beefing, and you be like, "Man, Atlanta's weird."
Hmm.
No, it's not. Y'all two people ain't even from here.
Right.
Y'all had an interaction that didn't work out well, and now the place that y'all had it at is the weird place. It's like, no, you Chicago, you LA, y'all weird.
Mm-hmm.
You New York, you Detroit, y'all, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Y'all came here and it had a weird experience.
Yeah.
But it's not Atlanta. Atlanta didn't do it to you. Atlanta people didn't do it to you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people swear they can't find none of us. So I'm like, yo, so how we do it? If it's hard for you to meet an Atlanta native,
right.
How did Atlanta do the thing to you? You know what I'm saying? Like, true. We so hard
but
to find.
But would you say that it's an Atlanta culture, though? Like, the culture that we've, like,
but it ain't Atlanta
created?
Culture. It's the culture that we, it's the culture that Atlanta allowed in, mm-hmm. But it's not Atlanta culture. The club culture that's going on, the restaurant culture, the grass wall culture, all the stuff that we all complain mm-hmm. about, it's not Atlanta stuff. Those things are not native to Atlanta. It's stuff that we thought we wanted. It got in here. And we's like, I don't really like that much. But now it's here.
Do we need another question? Do we need another grass wall? Can we?
No, we need a purge. Actually, we need to start burning stuff down. Like, I'm an advocate of, like, purging.
Yeah.
Like, one day of, like, yo,
all the grass walls.
Yeah.
And neon signs.
But here's the thing. It's not the grass walls that's causing the problem. It's the people that come in and stand next to the grass walls. That's the actual problem, right?
Like, it's
the people. The grass walls aren't actually doing anything. At some point, somebody said, yo, grass walls kind of fly. And then everybody's like, we should get grass walls. And now you got grass wall culture. Grass wall culture is super whack because those are not really nice restaurants.
We're going to rename the title of this episode for it to be grass wall culture. And
yeah, no, just listen.
Grass wall. We're having Georgia clay walls.
But listen, me and Tiff talked about this the other day when we said, you know, your Explorer page is who you really are, right? Mm-hmm. So when people be like, man, Instagram ain't nothing but IG models and this, and I'm like, that's because you keep like looking them. At that.
Right.
That's you. That's not Instagram. Instagram don't feed me that.
Right.
Instagram feeds me sneakers every day. You know, Instagram feeds me new restaurants every day. You know, Instagram feeds me music stuff all day. So I don't have those problems. So if all you see on Instagram is something crazy that you don't want to see, it's because you keep liking the pictures and following, you know what I'm saying? You keep following the pages. It's only showing you what you wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the grass wall culture is kind of the same thing. It's the walls aren't doing anything. It's the people going to those restaurants because they think grass walls means 5-star. Mm. And I'm like,
luxury.
Why do y'all think that? Like, who told y'all that was the barometer for, you know what I'm saying? Like, and here I am sounding like the classist that's like, oh my God, y'all, I wouldn't dare because I don't eat at those places. So I never have those problems. Mm-hmm. So that's the other problem that I have. It was that you keep having problems at grass wall culture restaurants. Stop going.
Right.
There are other things in Atlanta that are not that are pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Like, CNS, was there a grass wall at CNS? No. Was there a grass wall at 246? No. Capers,
no.
Fish Time, Rays on the River. There aren't grass walls there. So Atlanta offers other things. Yep. And I think people are like, I'm going to keep going to grass walls until I find the right one. And I'm like, which sounds like, again, back to dating. If you keep going to the same source of men or women and then be like, I can't find anybody that, I'm like, well, you keep going to the same thing. Like,
same
all your girls come from the flame. And you're like, all these girls act the same. Well, I mean, there's something in common there.
Yeah.
You and the place you're meeting them at. Like, switch it up. Like,
Nick needs a podcast.
I would just, people wouldn't like me way less if I talked all day. I'm very careful to not sit on front of microphones. This is dangerous. This should be way more expensive to limit. Like, the last guest y'all had, I overheard him say that
everyone needs it. Well, I was going to ask him.
Absolutely not. That is the worst idea
I know. You totally disagree. When he said that, I was like, Nick did totally disagree.
More podcasts? Are y'all crazy? Do y'all think people, you think?
I was going to ask him. I was like,
this is dangerous.
Does everybody need one?
This is worse than reality shows. And people don't understand that if you let people talk long enough, they're going to eventually say something. You'd be like, oh, yeah. Even your favorite person in the world. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
If they sit on the microphone long enough, they're going to say something. You can be like, don't rock with them no more.
Yeah. One thing.
You say that about reality shows. Like, reality shows, like, there was a conversation about us going on a reality show. I didn't even brought it to you. I was just like, we're not doing that. I just shut it down immediately. But I was like, yeah, people aren't going to. That's not going to go well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, from the outside, people are like, oh, Nick, Tiff, they're so. Then, you know. They be like, nah, they too bougie. They too this, they too that. I don't like the way he. Look at how they, you don't need them. You don't need them problems. No one needs those problems. And this is significantly worse. And then y'all gave me ginger ale. Thank y'all.
Yes.
But you add alcohol to a podcast.
I know.
And oh my God. Awful. Only awful. There's no upside.
Yeah.
There's no upside. So yeah, no more podcast. If I do start a podcast, it's going to be called No More Podcast.
Except yours.
Or the last podcast.
The last podcast.
That's a good one.
The last podcast. Like, we're going to you're gonna debt it. I think we should like start repossessing podcast equipment. Leave it to the pros.
Right. I think you can't get podcast equipment unless
there's no barrier to entry. This you should be able to. You have to pass a test. Like we make 16-year-olds take a test to get a license, and we just let anybody get in front of a microphone and anybody just say stuff
on the internet.
Just say things. Just everybody's thoughts don't need to be heard.
You have a wildly different approach and way of thinking of.
Yeah, I think the world went wrong. We started hearing everybody's opinions. Mm-hmm. It's bad. It's you're hearing too many opinions. You're getting too much. It's too much clutter. It was better when we had 8 channels on TV. You know, say 2 radio stations. Life was better. Like these are your options.
Simple.
Raising kids. Think about raising kids. Kids got too many options. Mm-hmm. Our kids get to pick every night what they want to eat from a multitude of places. We can Uber eat something. We can go somewhere. We'll drive somewhere. Nope. When you was a kid, you know what you got? You got whatever they get. You had one option. Just life was simpler. Simple
don't let time. That applesauce touch the rest of my food.
And look at how you turned out.
Oh, my God.
You. And look at you now. Look at you. Know what I'm saying? Look at y'all. 1,000 subscribers, all off of peas and rice and whatever your mom used to make when you was a kid.
Pork chops and rice all mixed together.
You think our kids going to have a podcast when they get older? They're going to be too spoiled and rich. We're going to raise a generation of spoiled black kids, which we deserve. Mm-hmm. It's our fault, but it's from options.
Too many options.
Too many options. They think they can be rich being doing a podcast.
Some of them are.
They are, but that's the exception.
And they don't have to listen to their parents.
That's the exception. But I mean, when you start making more money than your parents, you got
to
move.
Right, I was about to say.
It's your house.
It might be their house.
Listen, let me tell y'all something.
Johnny, I need you to take over this mortgage.
Let me tell y'all something. Every young man has tried his dad at some point. Mm. And then your dad had to be like, let me remind you whose house this is.
That's right.
If you so happen to beat your dad, that's your house now. He got to go.
I'm done.
He has to leave.
I'm done.
Oh you God. Can't whoop your dad and stay in the house.
The dad has to
now concede the house. You're the man of the house.
What?
How are you not?
Oh my God.
How are
now
you
now dad go to the basement?
Listen.
All right. Well, we have gone way over.
I'm just telling y'all how it is, man.
Oh my gosh.
Nick, listen, I want to thank you for coming on our podcast.
I would do this 10,000 times for you. Oh, I love this girl. So this is one of my favorite people in the world, like honestly. So I get to say that on camera in a microphone that can be played back years from now. So to my next girl. This was a thing that was happening in 2024. And, you know.
And if this never makes it out, it's because he's dead.
No, this is my heart. This is, you know, she knows. She's super important to me. And have I not been supportive here?
Yes, very.
I have. Go do it. Hang out all day. Go shoot for hours. I don't care. Shoot. Whatever. Come back when you want to.
Go hang out with your best friend. No.
Yeah, just stay, go, whatever. You know. I want to see y'all succeed. I want to see y'all win. And because I actually believe in what y'all doing. This is super dope. The conversations can be interesting.
Mm-hmm. See, it's not boring. It's not a big yawn.
Who told you it was? Who said these words? Because you've never heard these words from me.
It's like everybody like customer service. I'm like, They're like,
yeah, because everybody think everything's supposed to be sexy. That's everybody's problem. Everything ain't supposed to be cool. It's every job not cool. Kids, listen. Every kid think the job's supposed to be cool. Everything's supposed to be the way they want it to be. Like, no, there are some regular old jobs that just do regular stuff.
Yep.
And they make great money.
Regular, degular.
Yeah, like, we need to bring back regular.
Yeah. Yes.
We need to normalize regular as, like, a thing to, like, aspire to.
Yes.
Like, everybody is not going to be the Delta Airlines of their thing.
Sometimes you're going to be a Spirit, but you're still flourishing.
Some of y'all are Spirit.
You're still flying.
Some of y'all still are the flying. Spirit of plumbers. Or the spirit of photographers, or the spirit of whatever. Like some of y'all just.
But it'll be okay with being a spirit.
Hey man, you are not enough. That's what y'all should. Dang. No matter what that hoodie says, no matter what that painting on the wall, the inspirational quote says, you are not enough.
All right. On this episode of Keeping It Real.
Well, on that note, maybe you are enough or maybe you're not. Ask someone next to you.
And believe them when they tell you.
Yes.
Yeah, believe
them. Just ask Nick, he'll tell you.
See, all this right. is why. This
That's
see,
why you can't have. This is why you can't have
you
a mic.
Why?
No mic.
There you go.
No mic. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Please Hold podcast. And we will see you the next time around. Bye.
Bye.
Hey. Peace.
Yay.